Philadelphia's Mutter Museum is not a typical tourist stop displaying artwork or artifacts of culture, science, or history, although it has some of all of these. The museum, now over 150 years old, is popularly known today for its human specimens of medical anomalies, such as the tallest skeleton in North America and its plaster cast of conjoined twins. But its mission extends beyond entertaining the curious public. Now WRTI's Susan Lewis explores the continuing relevance of both the Mutter Museum and its home, the College of Physicians of Philadelphia.
In Center City, Philadelphia, on 22nd Street, stands a stately, Beaux-Arts-style National Historic Landmark, rich with medical history. Inside, an airy marble rotunda is flanked by a large portrait of Dr. Benjamin Rush and a Thomas Aikens portrait of Dr. William Thompson, just two of well over 100 portraits around the building. Off to the left is a parlor and a room with the library of Dr. Samuel Gross, the subject of Aiken's most famous work. Towards the back of the building, beyond the foot of a grand staircase, lives the Mutter Museum. Cradling a two-story atrium, its walls are lined with fine cabinets of oak and glass.
It very much has a 19th-century cabinet of curiosities look.
Mutter director Robert Hicks.
And some of the oldest exhibit furniture in that room dates from the mid-19th century. And in fact, some of that furniture constitute rare artifacts in their own right.
But it's what's in the furniture that's made the Mutter's international reputation. Parts of internal organs soak in jars. A blackened cadaver turned to a soap-like substance stretches out on its resting place under glass. Rows of skulls line shelves like skeletal spectators gazing back at us. The museum began in 1859 when retired surgeon Dr. Thomas Dent Mutter, to better educate physicians about problems they might encounter in practice, donated his collection of anatomical and pathological specimens to the College of Physicians of Philadelphia, where George Woolreich is CEO.
The college was mainly a library and a meeting place for the exchange of scientific papers.
The professional organization had been founded 72 years earlier by a group of doctors, including founding father Benjamin Rush.
The mission was self-education, development of skills, sharing of what were then very rare books.
For nearly two centuries, its primary focus and best-used resource was the library. Longtime college librarian Joan McKenzie, who started in the 70s and recently retired, remembers when the reading room was a hub of activity.
We used to be filled with people before the medical schools built up their libraries. There'd be people in here scanning our stacks of journals just to see what was new.
Today, behind lock and key are seven floors of stacks, home to 350,000 books used for scholarly research. There's Aristotle's works published in 1497, an 1826 anatomy book that belonged to Napoleon's second wife, Empress Marie Louise of Austria, British physician William Harvey's 19th century text explaining how blood circulates in the body, one of three copies in the world, and medical literature from other cultures.
This is a Chinese book on natural history. It was a gift that was given to us by Peter Parker, lived from 1804 to 1888. He was a noted American medical missionary and a diplomat in China.
As the library's role in updating the profession has waned, the Mutter Museum's public appeal has greatly increased, says Woolreich, due largely to the museum's former director, the late Gretchen Worden, who first actively publicized the place.
It was her belief that by seeing the variety of anatomical expression of our gene pool, one can develop an empathy for what it is to be human and an increased sensitivity and appreciation for how far medicine has come.
Among the Mutter's 25,000 objects, only 10% on view at any one time, some have become famous. The Philadelphia woman whose body turned to soap, the plaster cast of conjoined twins, the Hurdle human skull collection, and the tumor removed in secret from President Grover Cleveland. But that's not all, says Hicks.
We also have an enormous array of different kinds of mounted specimens, sometimes in bottles of liquid, sometimes wax injected with different dyes to show, say, the veins over something else, and wax models showing various kinds of conditions. These taken collectively are an attraction. As we say, disturbingly informative museum. People are interested to see these things that can happen to a human body.
On the day we visit, we run into ophthalmologist Joseph Fishkin from Teaneck, New Jersey, who was drawn to the exhibit on eye pathology.
It's a way of exhibiting that I haven't seen before. Here in one place to have an exhibit that shows the exact description of what each type of eye pathology looks like was really fascinating, and I actually wish I would have seen something like that during my ophthalmology training.
Lawyers Renee Gornall and John Riley from Arlington, Virginia, were just exploring.
It's amazing. It's interesting, and some of it's a little scary, too.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it, but he kind of keeps warning me as we go around corners.
While many of the objects are very old, some are quite new. Motor Communications Director Jay Basil was inspired by the story of Harry Eastlack, who died at age 40 of a bone disease, commonly known as FOP, and donated his skeleton so others could learn from it. When Basil learned he needed a hip replacement because of the side effects of medication he was taking, he went to then executive director Gretchen Worden.
And I asked her how many examples they might have of such a condition in the collection. She informed me of none, and I asked her if she would be interested in acquiring one. And after a brief pause, she realized I was talking about my own.
Now Basil's hip is part of the collection.
And if one person looks at that hip and realizes that these medications have a side effect to them, and perhaps walks away with a better understanding of this condition, then it's done its purpose.
In its exploration of the human life cycle, the Mutter fits right in with the continuing ethos of the College of Physicians, which today actively works to educate the public.
We're trying to advance the cause of health and remind ourselves and others where medicine came from, what it has achieved, what's left for it to do, and both the honor and the responsibility of being in healthcare.
College programs include a website containing healthcare resources for the Philadelphia region, a center for school groups, and lectures on topics of public concern, from the health consequences of global warming to the recession's impact on healthcare. The college also cultivates a medicinal herb garden in honor of Benjamin Rush. And although it may not be for the squeamish, the Mutter continues to do its part to enlighten the curious, chronicle the human life cycle, and serve as a resource for efforts to improve the human condition.
WRTI's Susan Lewis. The Mutter Museum is at the College of Physicians of Philadelphia at 19 South 22nd Street.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.